Over the last 50 years, millions upon millions of children have been killed by abortion. You can look up the statistics. With every abortion, though, there's not just the child being killed. There's a mother involved. There's a woman bearing that child. That's what I want to talk about here. The woman who has had an abortion. Women like my wife who had one when she was lost. That might be you. I want to talk about women who are in two different places today. The Christian woman who has an abortion in her past, and the woman who does not yet know Jesus Christ, who is not a Christian, who has an abortion in her past. My counsel today will be fundamentally the same to both categories of women. You may have had an abortion. Maybe you had one yesterday, last year, 10 years ago, in the 1980s. What is your conscience telling you about what you did? Are you able to sleep well? Or does your conscience keep you awake? Maybe, just maybe, you've been able to sear your conscience most of the time. What about those times when your conscience breaks through that sear? Has this affected your relationships with other people? Let's be frank here. We have done a very good job of proclaiming the fact that abortion is evil and it's murder. It is sin. We have done such a good job of that that we have some collateral damage to deal with. And that collateral damage is this: the souls of the women who have had that abortion. Women who suffer guilt and shame and disgrace and heartache, and so much so. And these women are in our churches, brethren, Christian women sitting next to you. Maybe they've been converted after their abortion. Maybe they fell into sin and had the abortion after their conversion. It doesn't matter. We have them in our churches. You have them in your church. We have them in ours, and you might be that woman. You might be that woman everyone looks up to because you're mature and you're a prayer warrior and you help other women in your church. But inside, you're dying. The guilt is crushing your soul. The shame is well nigh unbearable. Outwardly, you look like you've got it all together. But inwardly, there's a train wreck going on in your soul. You go home and you cry by yourself. And you don't think you can tell anyone about it. Maybe you can't even talk to your husband about it if you're married, because of the stigma that is attached to having had an abortion. Sister, know this. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. It is not unforgivable. Honest. Jesus Christ paid the penalty on that cross for all of your sins, and yes, even your abortion. Brethren, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for abortion on that cross for our sisters, didn't he? Jesus Christ delivers the believer from not only the power of sin, but the penalty of sin, and even the sin of abortion. We sing that song where Horatio Spafford wrote these words back in the 19th century. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Yes, even for the sin of abortion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Women will stand before us, and they'll bear testimony to those sins that Christ has delivered them from, and we embrace them for doing that. They'll talk about their past of fornication, adultery, substance abuse, violence, prostitution, all manner of sin. But women are sitting there thinking that they can't bring up their abortion as they bear their testimony. So they suffer in silence, at least silently when they're around us. Their souls may be screaming, but they suffer silently. If that's you, suffering as a Christian woman because you think that the guilt and the shame of what you did is far too great to be discussed even amongst other women, please know that your sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and you do not bear it anymore. Brethren, as anti-abortion as we may be, let us not be stifling our sisters and their ability to enjoy true freedom in Christ. Like any other sin in our past, we don't brag about it. We don't speak proudly about any of our sins. But can the women in our churches speak at all about their abortion or abortions, plural, so they can get help, so they can sleep at night? that child they killed will not disappear from their memory. Sister, you who has had an abortion, I repeat, you did not commit an unforgivable sin. You didn't. Receive true peace and forgiveness by trusting your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are secure in His hands, secure in the hands of the Father. He loves you. He really does. When you received your salvation by turning from your sin, you received full payment for the penalty of your sin credited to your account. Praise the Lord. And brethren, since that's true for our sisters who've had an abortion, please allow them to talk about it if they feel the need. Recently, a supermodel suffered a miscarriage. She's been very public about the emotional pain and torment that she has been going through as a result of losing her child. Why? She knows that was a child that she lost. Our sisters who have had an abortion, they know that as well. They know what they have done to an image bearer of God, and that's why they suffer. If we help our brethren through dealing with their pasts in all other matters, why do our sisters feel they must suffer in silence who've had an abortion? Now, I want to address the woman who does not know Jesus Christ. You who are not a Christian, and you have had an abortion. You who know you are separated from God due to your sin, due to your rebellion. You who are miserable, and your conscience is killing you, or at a minimum, your conscience keeps tapping you on the shoulder. And you keep trying to swat it away. You keep trying to swat it away like we do the mosquitoes here in San Antonio during the summer. You swat the mosquitoes away. But just like those mosquitoes, your conscience keeps coming back. Tapping. Tapping. You may be thinking that what you have done is so bad you can't be forgiven. I appeal to you not to listen to that voice in your head. That's the devil speaking to you. The devil says, no, no. The devil says, you're too bad. You're so ungodly. Your abortion has put you outside what Jesus Christ can do for you. I appeal to you to not listen to that voice. Satan tells you you're ungodly. And I've got good news for you. Romans chapter 5 tells us that Christ died for the ungodly, people just like you. Jesus came to pay the penalty for the fornicators, for the adulterers, for the drug dealers, for the prostitutes, for the thieves, the drunkards, the idolaters, yes, even blasphemers. The Apostle Paul says he himself was a blasphemer before Jesus Christ saved him. Acts chapter 9 is where that happened for Paul. And yes, that can be yours. What you've done is not unforgivable. What you've done does not mean there is no hope for you. There is hope. You can have a living hope, Jesus Christ, if you come to Him in faith. Now, today, leaving your past behind. You're not going to forget your past, but you can leave all your guilt, all your shame, all your pain right there at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And you can be free, free from those bonds of torment that you've been living under. You can have a clear conscience before God. You can be one of those people about whom Jesus says are free indeed. Freed from the penalty of all your sin, and not just your abortion. You can have fellowship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you, whether one abortion or 10, you can place them all upon Jesus Christ, and He will bear your sin for you. Come to Him in faith today. And brethren, embrace that woman who has repented of her sins, even when those sins include abortion. Allow her to deal openly with her past. This is one of those bearing another's burdens issues, just like any other burdens our brethren may have. Love that sister. Love her with the love you have received from God. Love her. Amen.